Welcome to Pop, 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 Popcorn and Plot Holes. Welcome back to my show.
No. Hey, enough. Hey, this is too much excitement. It's the 80s. This? Tone it down.
Who is this?
This is too much cocaine.
Dad?
Yes, it's your father, real Matt. Don't make me rip your throat out. I'm taking back my show.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
I had it. It was in the palm of my hands.
You forgot how the show works, the structure. I mean, you just skipped along.
Spencer just used, in this one intro, the whole of the energy that Matt's going to use for the rest of the episode. So I think we're good.
That's the rest of the energy for the year. That's all.
All right, Matt's going to take back over. You guys can turn off the podcast now.
Wow.
You know you're still in this, right?
Just kidding. Just good to have you back, Mattimus.
Yay, I'm back. Joining me, first time, last time, Spencer.
That's not
fired.
Ominous. That's not ominous.
No. It's just a thing you say. It's a colloquialism. It's fine.
It's the saying the kids say.
Yeah, it's fine. Luciano.
Yeah, I hope it's on my last time too.
Man. Chris,
watch yourself.
You kicked me off this podcast. I'm going to start another one using WhatsApp voice messages alone.
Wow.
And Luciano's going to be my co-host.
I was going to say that's the one I won't listen to ever.
That's the one you will listen to, bitch.
And with me, the new, old, and future replacement for Spencer, Luciano, and Chris, other Matt.
Oh, Matt squared. I see. Matt squared. It's Mappotism. It's Mappotism. I
mean, it is.
Mappotism. Yeah. There you go.
You get it.
I mean, I haven't even decided. I'm technically not even here of my own volition. It's against my will here. I just kind of showed up.
That's right.
With cake. Yes. And Chris was like,
come on in.
You showed up, but Chris kidnapped you in his own home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I locked the doors.
Nah. You weren't supposed to say that, Matt Squared. We had a deal.
I locked the doors from the inside. Matt doesn't know how to operate keys.
Say goodbye to your puppy.
Well, you know.
Put the cake in the basket.
Wait, I'm confused. Was I just not allowed to tell you guys that I was eating cake? Because
That's the problem. Yeah,
that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lot and it's an issue, but I'm trying.
Sugar.
Good
living
for you.
My life. Mm.
Diabetes is a real threat. So
diabetes.
Let's talk about the movie we watch. We watch Roadhouse.
What the fuck is this?
The Jake Gyllenhaal. No, not the Jake Gyllenhaal. The Jeff Healey vehicle.
Yeah. Canadian legend Jeff Healey. Yes.
Do we have Luciano? I don't think enough people know about.
I don't.
Spencer knows nothing about Canadian.
I know.
Hero,
I know he's a guitar player.
Luciano, can you give us a Jeff Healey fact to help Spencer learn? Educate these men.
I need to learn.
Did you know that in 2011, Woodford Park in Toronto was renamed Jeff Healey Park in his honor?
Healey facts!
Nice.
We can brand that. So we watched Roadhouse from 1989, the original, with original Dalton, Patrick Swayze. I'm pretty sure none of the other characters existed.
Other actors.
Between the two movies.
The closest one is the doctor who's named Elizabeth here and Ellie in the other one.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, which is basically short for Elizabeth if you want it to be.
yes.
Don't worry about it. So we watched Roadhouse 1989. We want to compare the two. We figured it was a good way to look at a classic movie that was redone for a contemporary audience. And we also decided to do it backwards because fuck you, that's why.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this movie. We like to be positive. We like to talk about good things about this movie. What was your favorite thing about Roadhouse from 1989?
First off, motherfuckers put some respect on their elders, okay? So, number one, Dalton gets the job and accepts it, and then, like, on his way out, like, before he, like, gets into his Mercedes, he tosses the keys of the previous car to who I affectionately call the hood dude. IMDb calls him the derelict, but that's not what I was ready to do, so that's number one. Number two, when Dalton shows up at the farmhouse and like, talking to Emmett, Emmett's asking him questions, and he's like, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir. With sincerity, okay? Appreciating the respect for the elders. It felt like a time long gone.
I like that, too.
Yeah.
And I'm the old guy.
Great power.
Yes, sir. Let's just Let's just refer
I'll
to
allow that. I'll allow that.
Let's call Luciano sir because he's old.
All right.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Sure.
So old.
Okay, sir.
Sure, I'll take it. I never knew how respect felt. So
yeah, you well, shouldn't.
You're gonna learn today.
I hate it. Chris liked the respect, which is good, and says some concerning things about him. But we won't dig into it too far. Spencer, why don't you redirect this thing?
I really liked the dirtiness of this movie. It just felt like
the
grimy
tits and the stabby.
That all added to it. It was just like it felt like. Like, again, I we're going to get into it, I'm sure, like comparing, but if the new Roadhouse felt like a sanitized, watered down version of this movie, like this movie felt like it was like rough and like a real bar with like real, like bad dudes. And I don't know. It just like felt like it was something that you weren't supposed to watch as a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
you felt the shit getting kicked in this film. Like you really did. Right. Like what it was.
Like, I just like the grime. It's like you don't see it anymore. Everything's so fucking,
this
produced.
Movie is like the 80s compressed into 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I just, I really appreciated, the lack of production. Like, you know.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Like, not overly too. Produced feel.
Overproduction, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I know there was production. I like this movie a lot. So it's like, I'm not shitting on it. I mean, I really liked how, real it felt.
Yes.
For how stupid it is.
Also, yes. Luciano, what do you got for me?
There's no doubt in my mind. The soundtrack and everything about the music in this movie is
fucking
amazing.
You're gonna pick the soundtrack.
Come on, dude. It's Jeff Healey and Jeff Healey doing like playing Doors songs, playing Bob Dylan songs. It was great. Like just. Yep. I did something in this movie that I never do, which is, you know, sometimes, you know, they fade out into some song into
you the
credits.
Cassette of the soundtrack?
I had that before. No, I didn't. No, I watched the whole credits just because it was Jeff Healey playing. I just watched it, the whole thing. I loved it. Okay.
The soundtrack has a song by Patrick Swayze singing on it.
That's true.
So
it does. It does. Yeah.
But
didn't make the movie.
Yeah,
it wasn't. She's Like the Wind. Was it? No,
no.
It didn't. That didn't fit.
But like I realized also, I don't think I had ever watched the whole movie. I think I saw 2 or 3 scenes of this movie back in the day, and that was it.
You're welcome.
I've never seen this movie, and I've seen most movies. So
That's a bold
every
place.
Movie ever made.
I've seen every movie ever made except this movie, so it was nice to check it off the list. Really no, like this, this era and this type of movie is like right up my alley. And I'm shocked that I've never seen it. And I was just like, yes,
I'm solving problems for all of you. I've seen this movie, I don't know, 6 times now. It's not.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thanks to TBS, right?
Yeah, sure. TBS.
You can't watch this on TBS.
Yeah, I did.
I used to friend guys like you in prison.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
Right, modern Facebook in prison. Nice good job.
Not gonna tell you my doors.
Yeah. Matt, what was your favorite part?
I mean, I honestly had to suffer through the new one. So this was just like a breath of greasy air, like just right in the face. That was just so nice. I have to say Sam Elliott. I mean, what a man. Like just that, you know, good old fashioned Southern charm, you know, like you That's just right. wanted that man all the time to just talk. Just sweet, 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 sweet noise in my ear. Just like
to steal your girl.
Oh yeah,
literally.
Mijo. I respect you, mijo. That's all I needed. More of that.
Yeah,
and that was just everything about it. Loved it. Loved all of it. Same thing too. Loved the greasiness. The griminess and like it's just so nice.
Matt, do you think that they killed him in the movie because he was stealing too much of the swagger of the movie from Swayze and they had to just get rid of him?
Yeah, no, I mean, they literally probably looked at that. They had to come back and recut that, definitely. Yeah. 'Cause they looked at that and they were just like, man,
that man has too much power.
I'm not only filled with respect for this man, but I am fully, fully erect. And when that happens, I mean, he's got to go.
With him and Swayze on screen, it was too much BDE for one movie.
Too much.
Spencer, that dovetails into my favorite part of this movie. It's fucking Swayze just
the BDE?
Swayzeing all over this fucking film.
All over the place. Oh,
it's Crane style, bro. Crane style.
He had me, when he was in the hospital putting the moves on Dr. Elizabeth, I was like, take me. I'm ready.
Right? I'm Elizabeth now.
How would you
say no more?
Hey.
He was svelte. Mm. He was very svelte. It was beautiful.
Every character fell in love. Like when he was doing Tai Chi and then it cuts to the farmer and he's like, whew. Even
even Brad Wesley from across the fucking lake stopped his three-wheeler to like goggle at him.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, damn, nah, that's a man.
Very much understand that.
It actually brings me to my first question about this movie. So they kind of, it's a bit of a throwaway, but it comes back later at the car dealership. But like Jeff Healey, aka Cody, tells Patrick Swayze's character that Dr. Elizabeth used to date Brad Wesley.
Well, he wanted to date her and she wasn't having any of it.
Yeah, but it's just like,
it's random. It's so fucking random.
It doesn't make any sense. Like how? Why? What?
It's the 80s.
No, I know, but like Brad Wesley, come on, guy, you're not getting anybody.
You're not getting the same girl Patrick Swayze is pulling, okay?
Yeah.
No.
Stay in your lane.
Brad Wesley couldn't get Elizabeth's uncle's ugly wife. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
come on.
Low blow.
Sorry, Fred.
Too soon.
Too soon? Half of the people in this movie are dead.
Yeah. I actually thought that, because she said she was married before, I thought they were inferring that they were married.
I thought so too, but I cannot.
Oh, I never made that connection. I hope that's not the case. They said
dating later on in the film.
Well, what Cody says is, do you know who used to have or who has a thing for Dr. Clay?
Mm-hmm.
It's Brad Wesley, but I don't understand.
The whole damn town?
Have you seen her?
She's a beautiful doctor.
Everyone who's ever met her.
has had a thing for her.
Yeah.
Put some respect on that MD, bro. Mighty delicious.
I feel like you weren't so... It's fine.
What? That's very on brand for the 80s, though.
Oh, yeah. As we are reviewing.
Yeah. You sound like Wade. That girl's got too many brains to have an ass like that. I'm like, oh my God.
Thank you for saying in unison. That was very helpful.
Yeah. easier to chop it out in editing.
just cut the whole section and skip.
No, we aren't saying this. The movie said it. The movie's saying repeating it. It's like how you can say certain words in rap songs because the rappers say it, right?
I don't think you can.
I don't think that's how that works.
Actually, no. Moving, I have decided as the new host of this show, we shall proceed. In this moment.
Doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Just asking.
Feels dirty.
Ghost power.
So the next thing I want to talk about, I think, is Dalton as a cooler gets paid $500 a night, right?
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Plus $5,000 up front.
Plus $5,000 up front. And so that's 1980s money, right?
Yeah.
So
1980s U.S. currency.
So we looked this up before the podcast started just to understand. So $500 then was what, Luciano?
$1,200.
Wow. So if Dalton works 5 nights a week, which seems reasonable, at the Roadhouse, then he will make more money than current
$11,000.
Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, what's that word? You do the math. 1,200 times 5. Computer?
I just fucking did before.
Well, how much is it?
It's like $9,000 or something.
No.
Something.
1,200 times 5? That's 6,000.
Or that.
You fuck.
I said I did the math. I didn't say I did it right.
$6,000 a week plus 5,000. That's pretty
plus yeah, 12,000 pretty good. Up front, the 5,000.
Plus 12. Yeah, that's right. It was 5,000 80s cocaine dollars.
Gyllenhaal was what, 20 grand up front and then 5,000 a week?
I thought it was just 5,000 a week.
Arithmetic, children.
He's had 20,000, but like even then, it's still not enough money.
So what you're saying is Gyllenhaal's getting fucked.
Well, as we established in the last podcast, he wasn't really doing much of a job.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true. He was overpaid.
You know, at least Dalton here was actually doing something.
Dalton did it with a great hire. Like he didn't just kick ass. He trained.
That money was well worth it.
Well spent. Yeah.
He fixed their all the criminal activity going on within the staff. He cleaned that place up.
What's
he
like
got the booze.
$120 a week or whatever.
$150, yeah.
A night he was skimming off of.
Yeah,
paying a salary right there.
Yeah, that was Dalton earned. Comes down to who's the better bouncer. It's pretty fucking clear.
Also, I think this is the first movie where I've seen the guy who's Dalton's boss, that actor.
Not be a bad guy?
I was sure he was going to be the bad guy.
Me too. That guy's the bad guy in so many things, and I don't know what.
Kevin Teague. That explains whenever he smiled, I was like, that's sweet.
That's wrong.
What's he the bad guy in? Can somebody pull that up, please?
Something with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know.
I know, right? It's like some other 80s.
Or Mel Gibson or one of those, yeah.
It's like he just seems like, I know he's not the villain from RoboCop, but it's like that archetype.
Another 48 Hours, K-9, Jimmy Belushi.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, that movie's awesome.
Today, but there's something else. Steven Seagal. And
he's
a
villain
like
in a Steven Seagal film.
Yeah, that makes sense, too.
That's true, yeah. I think there's one more that we're missing.
We got to go back farther in time, I think, to really get it.
Back farther, 1990.
But he shows up at Ben Stand is the name of the original bar where he works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he walked in, I'm like, oh, villain.
There's another one he's in from 1989 called Fat Man and Little Boy. That seems like it's ripe for a remake. Just from the title alone.
They did. It's called Oppenheimer.
Teeter into dark tier level.
It's called
Mason and Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
The sequel is called Oppenheimer.
Oh. That's not
It's
nice.
Good. It's a good reference.
It's true. That
okay.
Batman and Little Boy, the name of nukes they drop on.
Yeah,
Japan.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Learn your history.
Yeah, you fucks. No, but when he walked into the bar at the beginning, I totally expected to walk up and be like, I'm here to buy this establishment, and I will not take no for an answer.
And I'll take that boy over there who's doing all the cooling, too.
I'll buy him, too. Excuse me, I have to go kick some dogs.
Well, that was Brad Wesley. Like,
yeah, I know.
That scene where he's driving and singing and just going like crazy
in the middle of oncoming traffic. What is he thinking?
What the fuck was
like,
that?
That would kill you too.
Yeah, is that a power move? Or is it like a death wish?
Yeah. He has suicidal tendencies.
He didn't do that. Making a note. He did that sober.
I wonder how he did that cokenly.
He had in the back.
How many what?
Coconuts he had in the back.
Hey, yeah.
Chris, I gotta ask you, why do you think anything Brad Wesley did wasn't coquetry? It's the 80s.
That's the level of his malevolence.
No, it was breakfast. Coke was breakfast for him.
No, it's coke enhanced.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Based on that,
coke enhanced, I think is
the coke enhanced content, y'all. Your ears be glistening now. Coke enhanced, cokedly driving, singing Shaboom, unfazed by Patrick Swayze's splendor and magnificence.
Oh, he was phased. He was phased.
Yeah, he was very phased.
Everyone was phased.
He was Swayze was phased, but Wesley was not.
Oh, he was phased.
Well, Wesley was out of phase. That's how much coke he had on him.
Damn.
Or in him, around him.
Can we rank the top five people from this movie in terms of cocaine usage? So Brad Wesley won, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
I would say Jimmy's probably giving him a run for his money.
Yeah.
What about
right? Probably.
Emmett.
Yeah.
No.
Emmett's got something with his time out there.
You know who's definitely like doing more than you think, more than you'd expect, was Wesley's girl.
Oh yeah, Denise. Again, same stash.
For her body weight, you're like, damn, she packs it down.
Denise,
the coke.
Yeah,
the coke.
Yeah, the coke. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Morgan, the first bouncer who's at the Double Deuce, Terry Funk. WWE legend.
I don't know if it was coked, but I think he had some sort of a deal with the furniture company because he was doing more damage to that bar than the drunk people were.
Yeah.
Like his answer to anybody creating problems was to destroy the entire fucking bar.
Is that not the cocaine?
That's fair. Yeah. That is fair.
Or maybe roid rage.
Yeah, it could be roid rage. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the guy the guy he fired who was banging the girl in the back? Yeah. Right. Break?
That's cokedly.
He's pretty coked in general.
I also know that he's another one of those, that guy, and I don't know his name. I don't remember what movie he's been in, but I've seen him everywhere.
Other 80s villain roles.
I'm putting you on the case.
To find the guy? To find the guy who was sexing?
That's going
to
be tougher because I don't even have a name.
His character name, right?
Oh, good job.
That'll be tough because none of us were paying attention to his face.
Or name. Or character.
Or face or anything else, let's be honest.
I remember that his tan stopped at like his waist and that was it.
Search that. Search men with tan lines. I'm sure you'll find them.
Yeah, put that in your Google history.
Man with
put
farmer's tan.
Man with tan lines.
I don't want
80s
that in my search history.
Cocaine.
Okay. Not even in incognito. That's not worth it.
Cheek to cheek tan lines. That's all I want
to
see.
Nipple to nipple.
Nipple to nipple.
Yeah. Hey.
What else are we talking about this movie? Let's. The one thing I think we should talk about because it's really transparent from this movie to the new one is. Like, everything is just real in this movie, right? Like, they clearly blew up all these buildings. They clearly did all these combat hand-to-hand. I mean, there's a little bit of, makeup work probably done on the throat-ripping out scene. Maybe they're real. I don't know.
And they had to do it.
One of the funniest things in this is when Dalton fights the bartender guy when he comes back after being fired. And he pulls a knife on him. And, like, before he gets punched, he already has blood on his face. And then the fat guy slices at Dalton, and it's like clearly ketchup, like just immediately apparent that it's not blood. It's amazing. It's like they skimmed on this so they can blow up more buildings.
Hey, this movie wasn't in HD when it was released. Okay,
that's fair. That is also fair.
Easier to fool back then, you know.
Yeah. But you had to think about the budget. The budget had to go somewhere, and clearly it went to Dalton's outfits and wardrobe because the boy was just the size
of his pants.
Well, the pants were
just the amount of fabric.
That's half the budget.
Yeah,
that's half the budget, and then that almost like gi-like top piece that he had.
Yeah.
I was like,
yep. That's true.
Very,
yeah,
very, that's semi kung fu.
The suit coat that says "I know martial arts."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dalton Senpai over there.
Hey. Hey. It's a Tanjiro's.
I thought you were going to say on boobies. Because there's a lot of those too.
on topless women. And most of them weren't for the movie.
Yeah.
Just for the 1980s executives.
It's a lot of silicone.
Well, that's what it was.
The cocaine budget.
Well, it takes
a little bit of time for the boobies to come, and then when they come, they just don't stop.
They don't stop.
Yeah.
Once they pop, they don't. You just can't stop.
Yep.
No, they don't pop. They jiggle. That was a lot of silicone.
Oof.
That was the 80s.
Wow.
Hey.
Different time.
A lot of tans. Everyone was very tanned.
Yeah. Freaking glistening.
Well, again, did we find out
where this movie took place?
The synopsis says south of the Macy-Dixon line, but I don't think they ever say the name. No, Jasper. The name of the city is Jasper.
Yeah, Jasper. That's right.
Jasper where? in a country that has like 24 Springfield, Jasper could be anywhere.
Let's see. Let's find out.
Jasper Louisiana.
Texas?
Very likely.
Jasper, Texas?
That would work, yeah.
There's a Jasper in Alabama?
That would also work.
That feels more accurate.
I would
There's
say
Jasper
Texas
in Indiana.
Isn't Wade singing about Texas when he's dancing with her? Like how they sing within old Texan.
That's because it's Sam Elliott.
All my exes. Yeah.
that's because it's Sam Elliott. That's why.
Yeah.
But it's a song that's on the radio.
All my exes are from Texas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a song on the radio. So maybe that's a hint.
It's in the South for sure.
Yeah.
And it was filmed in California. So, yes, in the South. Okay.
That's definitely California. Yeah, obviously. I do have a. I don't know if this is the right spot for this question, but you know, we watch both movies, and we're gonna blow a bit of it when we rank this movie. But I'm just curious, having seen both, do you have a preference? Don't give away your rating for this movie if possible.
Right,
like guys, a preference or
guys, let's all say it together. Okay,
that's not gonna work.
Three,
because we don't know what we're gonna say.
Two,
yeah,
one.
Roadhouse. Yeah, Roadhouse. Yeah, okay.
No, the original. Original.
I
they're both called Roadhouse. You idiot.
That's the joke. You idiot.
I keep telling you, jokes have to be funny.
host of this,
I hate you.
It's not in this moment that the answer is Roadhouse.
No, for me, it's the original by.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting for me because I've seen a lot of remakes. And obviously, you know, most of them are not as good as the originals. But always I'd seen the original first. So when I saw the remake, I was always like disappointed. Be like, this is worse. This is worse. This is worse. This is probably the first time ever that I watched the remake before the original. And it was actually like far more interesting because I was like, oh, this is how you do it right. As opposed to like watching it and being like, oh, they did this wrong. I'm like,
I had the same experience. Yeah. I was like, I think I like this one more because I watched the other one first. I think I would have liked this one less if I had.
Yeah. It's like you appreciate the structure so much more, like the stakes, like how they build up the stakes and
not caring even just about that, characters. But like, even the side characters they have so much more charm and like they're so like Emmett and Red and like they're all like interesting in their own right.
Yeah.
Whereas like we talked about this last time, like Frankie was like, oh yeah, she was in this movie on the new one, but she makes no difference. Yeah. So yeah, this has more heart. That's the way I thought of it.
Yeah.
And the thing one of the biggest points that new Matt and I were talking about, like I forgot, like, I've seen this movie many times as like a kid and teen, and then like time passes and it fades. But then when I saw Sam Elliott here and the connection that Wade and Dalton have, that just enriched like that dynamic
so much.
Dalton a real past to chew on. And like,
meanwhile, fucking Gyllenhaal had Post Malone. Like, come on.
It's just as good. It's just as good.
That guy. I'm not fighting that guy. That's that fucking guy.
Listen, but also that like just making up their titty quota for the new one. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
True.
But
I kind of wanted someone to grab his tits and be like, I can't kiss him. I don't have $20.
$20. Now that would have made that movie good.
Such fucking iconic lines on this one, too.
Oh my god, the lines everywhere. Oh
yeah.
But this to have Wade also
the best for.
Like, but also right? like you brought up Wade, like him not being in the new one, and then. Him dying was like made me want to see like Patrick Swayze get revenge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It made me like fired up to see the confrontation because it's like it had stakes. And then in the new one, I'm like, why did he even want to take down the bad guy? Like it just seemed like I don't even remember. Like he was just like annoyed.
At least it was the burning down the book. House or the book
the bookstore place. The book house, yes,
yeah,
yeah, the bookstore that he went to
it's not
want.
My first language, Chris.
The book where the books live,
the book place
in the house on the wall,
yes, the home of the books,
the daddy and the owl to live, and they
yeah,
call
but
it
yeah, you're right house. it's not the same as like not only Bert, like he exploded Red's hardware store and he killed Wade.
Yeah.
Right?
In the new one, he blew up one library. He blew up the whole town in this movie.
In Brad's defense.
Oh, no.
Careful.
White power.
Should Red have had so much oil and fuels? Wow.
It's a hardware store. Yes.
No, it was many things.
That explains the hardware store, but why did the farm explode?
Yeah, what? Yeah, manure.
In Brad's defense.
Oh shit!
Why do you keep defending him?
I don't know.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
It was Emmett's house, right? That he exploded.
Emmett's house was blown.
Yeah.
Maybe Emmett just had too much, you know, manure laying around that put gas into the
moonshine.
Air and it exploded.
Yeah.
Moonshine. Clearly, he's a moonshiner. That's why he wasn't on the coke. See?
That's
there
true.
There you go. Right? I think
Brad Wesley is innocent.
Free Brad Wesley.
Point out Brad that power. Also.
Brad Wesley did not kill himself.
I just point out that also without Wade and the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal's Dalton killed his own friend, when he goes on that rampage,
yeah.
he kind of seems more like a psychopath, just killing random people just to sort of satisfy his own crazy. Whereas at least Swayze's like...
He's also a psychopath, because when he loses it, he fucking loses it.
Yeah. True.
But at least we're rooting for that psychopath.
He's like a good guy, though. He calls old people sir.
That's right.
And to defend Patrick Swayze, for real.
I thought you were going to pretend Brad Wesley again. Just one more time. But another Brad Wesley fan.
He did. He was bringing JCPenney to the town.
That is correct, sir. Brad Wesley,
you know, saint and scholar as he is.
Yes. Are you on Brad Wesley's payroll?
What?
I am the fat guy on his crew.
A bear fell on me.
No, but like to defend Swayze's craziness, crazy Swayze, he at least like killed a man in self-defense in, was it Missouri or Memphis? Memphis, right?
Memphis.
Yes, yes.
And then he again has to kill Jimmy.
Generic white man name on a not wine guy, white guy, yes.
Possibly Italian, no one's quite sure. he pulls a gun. So he has to, that's, what I've learned is,
and we got the foreshadowing for it,
when
right?
When a man pulls a gun on you, you're allowed to rip his throat out.
Yes.
That's
the law. That's in the Constitution.
I'm sorry, I have to say it. There is no ripping a man's throat out in self-defense. That is not a thing. If you have the time and the opportunity to rip a man's throat out, you could subdue him without ripping his throat out. It's not like you fired a gun in self-defense.
What if
you ripped his Adam's apple out of his neck?
Yeah, what if a little cobra.
Yeah.
And then just snatch necks out of people.
He already told him what he does to guys in prison.
Yeah,
he
that's
didn't
true.
Want that to happen to any more people. Yeah, no. He said to him, I fuck guys like you in prison. Fear so he's like, life. I'm going to have to put you down. Like, you are going to be horrible to the people in prison.
It wasn't the gun. It wasn't the murder. It was the prison thing.
That got to him. That got
I'm
him.
Not gonna, I'm not going to sick this bastard on those poor prisoners.
The weird thing is that the guy, the weird thing is the guy in Memphis said the same thing.
Exactly.
And he was left with no choice.
And the cherry on top is that Jimmy was about to fire a bullet at Dalton. So what did Dalton have on his person? He had these hands. So he fired these hands at that man's body and it happened to land on that
those are registered weapons.
And that's why patron saint Brad Wesley wasn't killed that way.
That's right.
Because Dalton realized that he had never said he fucked guys like him in prison.
That's true.
Exactly. Thereby invalidating.
Yeah.
He was also like, oh, the doctor didn't like it when I did it. So she's going to be okay with me shooting like five guys in cold blood, but I didn't rip anybody's throat.
But the difference okay is that it? She would have witnessed him potentially killing Wesley. She did not see.
What she don't see won't hurt her.
Death. He did. There was no witness. She did not connect the deaths of the crew.
So she's a doctor, but she has no object permanence. Is what you're saying?
I didn't say that. I said
women don't have object permanence.
That's what Chris said.
I didn't say that either. You will not put those words. You don't put that evil on me.
Listen, Chris, I'm going to get you out of this with a Healy fact. Luciano?
Oh, so here's an interesting fact. Jeff Healy's father was a firefighter.
Ooh.
Healy that's the fact.
Just like how Brad Wesley wanted to get a drink for the brave firefighters that put out the fire.
Speaking of
Brad Wesley.
Yeah.
Let's talk about him.
Oh, Korean War veteran, Brad Wesley. You.
Korean War veteran, patron saint, Brad Wesley. Some might say
this is going in a bad direction.
I don't know. Let's talk about him because we need to expand on some of the larger holes of plot, if you will, in this movie. And I think Brad Wesley is the starter.
The holes of plot.
The holes of plot. Brad Wesley. Why Brad Wesley? How Brad Wesley? When Brad Wesley? Who Brad Wesley? What Brad Wesley? Mm. Where Brad Wesley?
Good question.
Innocent Brad Wesley?
Innocent. No question mark. Innocent, period. Cool.
I mean, there's a lot to cover there. I mean, in terms of his, what's fascinating is his relationship to this town that he seems to own. So from my understanding, he just basically had everyone pay him and he would fuck their shit up if they didn't. And that's him building the town.
And also on a whim when he was feeling bored.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But my question is,
at 10%.
How does that get JCPenney into town?
Yeah, did he threaten JCPenney?
Yeah. And also, will JCPenney have to pay the racket money too?
For sure.
Shows up at a JCPenney with his crew and just like Jimmy just starts beating him up with like drawers.
He's highly competent and not at all cobbled together crew. Let's like, put it there.
Give us all your bedazzled jeans or burn this place down.
If Brad Wesley knew that JCPenney was not going to make it, would he have brought it to town?
Yes. Did you watch this movie? He doesn't give a fuck. So yeah. He just wants to be able to say it.
Is JCPenney the most flammable of department stores?
No,
yes. Why he brought it?
You can't buy the kind of exposure that a JCPenney brings to your town, okay? Yeah. That's worth more than money.
And the kind of exposure that exploding a JCPenney would bring to your town.
Okay, I digress. That was my fault. We're talking about Brad Wesley. And the reason why I ask all these questions about Brad Wesley, Spencer's correct on some of it, but the town aspect of it. But I just want to know why Brad Wesley is so obsessed with what arguably is a series of shops on a highway in the middle of nowhere.
On a single highway.
Hey,
yeah, they're all right beside each other.
Hey, he's making hundreds of dollars in his extorting of them.
There's a hospital too.
He's not extorting the hospital.
That you know of.
Isn't he though?
It's not extortion. It's protection money. Not the same thing.
And proximity is everything. It's only 22 miles away.
No, that's the other movie.
I know.
Here it's everything is a neighbor of everything else.
Mm. Yeah, because what is in the town?
The farm?
Car dealership. The farm?
He blows that up.
The car dealership.
He runs that over with a monster truck.
That's right. Does it blow it up?
Okay. What else?
The hardware store.
Yeah. And the hardware store is directly across the street from Double Deuce.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And Spencer, he does blow that up.
He does blow it. Okay. He blows that up
there
too.
There is the diner where they go, where Wade dances with the doctor. And then there's the whatever they were before.
Right.
The other. Yeah.
There's another bar.
The single deuce. Instead of that's not single the single deuce.
The shit. I gotcha.
yeah. Thank you for explaining the joke.
You're welcome.
That's usually my job.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we've got two bars, a diner,
a hardware store.
There is a gas station, I think, right? He pulls into one at some point.
Yeah. There's like an old a used car salesship or where used he buys the beat up. I thought that was super smart too that he bought the car just to get them wrecked. That was
really that was. I was like, why is he buying cars? Right.
Yeah. The monster truck.
No. We're talking about he buys a used car that they throw. They break the windshield.
Stop signs into and stop signs.
Right.
There was a library.
So I mean, these are all great points, but I guess focusing on Matt-potism for a little bit.
Baptism.
Other Matt, you're on the pro Brad Wesley train, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of understand what he's doing. I mean, we got to look at this, the Double Deuce here, and realize that, like, they're paying Dalton cash. Like, he is getting paid. So if they could pay the cooler that and all of the other people, and they're still getting skimmed for all that money, they must be making bank. So I just feel like there's got to be some hidden gold mine in this. Maybe there's just like, it's probably Jeff Healey. I'm talking about this the whole time, and that's all I'm realizing. It's Jeff Healey. He's the draw.
They're all just going to see Jeff Healey.
Yeah. And it's
the only good thing about this fucking town.
I actually believe that. From what I can see, that is accurate.
But they're making money. Like, it seems like the weirdest dusty little road, like side of the road garbage heap, but they're making bank there somehow, you know?
So Brad Wesley is collecting like $250,000 a year from each of these, like each building in this town.
Each
square.
Tiny building that he keeps destroying.
The five buildings that exist in this town.
That, right? Three of which he's destroyed.
Because that actually explains why the other citizens, all the citizens of the town gather in someone's fucking living room. And they're like, hey, Red, don't leave. We'll help you rebuild. Because the money is probably so good to them that it doesn't matter if a monster truck runs over their inventory from time to time.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on.
It's cost of business.
It's par for the course out there, you know?
You guys are
making sense. Free Wesley.
Free Wesley.
I'll make t-shirts.
From the grave.
He didn't deserve that.
The martyrdom of Brad Wesley was a shame, but it also shone light on all the good he did.
All the good he cannot be understated.
No.
Okay, let's shift gears for a second here. There is another sort of, I don't know if it's an 80s problem, but I think we should tackle it anyways. They throw away a line where they're like, Brad Wesley owns everything in this town, even the sheriff. But there's owning the sheriff, and then there's you never see a cop.
Why police? Who police? Yeah, where police?
Just where police? Yeah.
I think that town might be like a kind of a Silent Hill sort of deal where it's like it's hidden from the rest of the world.
It's in a pocket dimension?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense because they seem like they're being hit by terror attacks. They're like fucking Homeland Security watch lists. Multiple buildings are being blown to shit.
Yeah, and nothing happens. Like the sheriff shows up literally at the very last scene of the movie, and people go, "Nothing happened here." And he goes, "Okay,
what's going on here? what happened? Another building's gone down.
We didn't see nothing. I don't know what you're talking
about." Yeah,
what?
Yeah. Do you think when the sheriff shows up to Brad Wesley's house, he's just like, hey guys, why don't you just blow this one up and we'll call it square?
Oh, yeah.
And just bulldoze the hotel. Let's start over.
Yeah. Well, this looks like a lot of paperwork.
Oh, that's what it is. He's lazy to make reports.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it.
That's what it is.
They're all like, we didn't see anything. And he's like, well, case closed.
I got to ask something random. Is the response, we don't see anything because they keep asking Cody?
Oh no! Too soon! Too soon!
Got
you put some respect on Jeff Healy,
but also it's a fair question.
But probably.
Come on.
See what you did, Matt?
What happened?
This is why you made silence.
We're having a moment of silence
for Jeff Healy's eyes.
Sorry, for Jeff Healy's eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think we need another Healy fact.
Hold on. We do. Cleanse the palate.
When he was 9 years old, his musical talents were showcased in an interview on TV Ontario on a children's program called Cucumber.
Oh, my God.
Healy facts.
There you go.
Law enforcement.
What
role
do
they play in the safety of the greater Jasper area vis-a-vis Alabama, Indiana, Florida, Arkansas?
Oh, maybe that's what the problem was. Maybe the sheriff didn't know which Jasper he was supposed to be sheriffing.
Okay. That could be it.
I think the police just section off this town to protect
like
the rest
it's a lost
of the
cause?
Country.
It's like,
yeah,
fuck,
it's like,
fuck this.
It's like Escape from New York. It's like the Manhattan Island. It's roped off and it's no man's land. Okay.
Yeah, now you have me imagining, what if Kurt Russell played Dalton?
The exact same thing would happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And we would love it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. But it also makes me think about the car dealership, Schaffenfarbenrebler, that dude.
Schadenfreude?
Yeah, the car dealership from Mr. Schadenfreude.
Yeah, he said he had an FBI connect when after Red's like general store was blown up, right? And he said that like we can help you rebuild and we could take him to court or something. I've got a guy I know at the FBI.
Not just anywhere. an FBI contact in Springfield.
Yeah.
Oh, we're putting the puzzle together.
Chief Police Wiggum.
Wiggum, yeah. Police Chief Wiggum.
Bring him away, toys.
Yeah. So I don't know.
What's your question, Chris?
My question is, like, you don't just lightly mention the FBI and nothing comes of it.
I mean, you do when it's a lie.
You do. Yeah, that's true.
It's like, okay, he was just boasting.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't know anybody.
He wants his friend to stay, and if what if his what if Red said yes, then you have to put he'd have to like put it together.
Yeah. Let me call my friend.
Hire an actor.
Yeah, his name's General Fagent.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That answers your question.
Name is Agent Wiggum.
No, it's fine. We got it. It's fine. I think we've covered the law enforcement. There's nothing there.
Yeah, we covered law enforcement as much as they covered the city.
Yeah, pretty much. It's good.
We know it's true. You don't see a cop till the end, the very end of the movie.
Yeah,
I feel like it's an accurate representation of small town America police.
This is what I was going to say. It's an accurate representation of everywhere with police. They don't show up when you need them.
Defund.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we got too real there for a second. Let's get what is the fact? Just
somebody make a fart sound.
Okay, let's see. What do we have here? In 1990, the Jeff Healey Band won the Juno Award for Canadian Entertainer of the Year.
Damn, I'm talking Juno now.
Is it wrong that I feel worse for him now?
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's the right emotion. The Junos are basically Canadian Grammys for anybody who happens to listen to this in America.
Yeah.
Moving on.
For all our UK listeners out there.
Hey, man. I don't give a shit about UK.
I do.
No, we're segueing to fun questions.
Yeah, they listen on the wrong side of the road. Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah, that. And the wrong ears, too. Stereo's reversed over there. It's fucked up. Hey, why are bouncers famous in Roadhouse?
That's my favorite part of the movie. That's Wade. He's a bouncer from four towns over. Why do you know that?
He's got his rookie card. Upper deck bouncer.
I got a Dalton rookie card from when he knocked out that guy with a broken bottle.
Did you put it in a hard sleeve or a soft sleeve?
Are you kidding? A Dalton? It's going in a hard sleeve, baby. It's going in a safe.
Yo, I thought you would come correct and get the soft sleeve and then put the soft sleeve in the hard sleeve to make sure.
You fucked up, Spencer.
Oh, no. Like I would tell you what I really do with my Dalton card.
Damn. Pff,
idiots.
It'd be a sleeve, all right.
What?
This is content. This is content.
It's a sleeve for his penis, folks.
I was talking about trading.
See, this is why I always explain the jokes.
I mean, to answer your question,
show you my dick.
Another great one-liner.
To answer your question, Matt, I'd like to imagine that in this world, like, bouncers are as famous. It's just like an alternative Earth where bouncers are as famous as actors or singers. And Jeff Healey is not cared for.
Wow.
Why shouldn't straight?
Wow. Jesus.
Jeff Healey never won a Juno in 1990 in this universe.
Yeah,
like
he had
so many parking spots available and you deliberately parked in the disabled.
Listen, it's just that world. Chris. He can't get a gig. He works at a bar, but bouncers get paid $40,000 per month.
That's true.
That's
very true. So if regular bouncers are like actors, what about coolers then?
Coolers are
like the superheroes of this universe?
They're like A-list actors. They're like your Brad Pitts of your
Patrick Swayzes?
Your Patrick Swayzes. your Matt from Popcorn Plot Holes.
Thank you.
Can I be honest? I didn't even know what a cooler was. I didn't know that that was like a thing or a title.
I don't know if
it
is a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a thing in this movie.
But even in New Roadhouse, when Frankie rolls up on New Dalton, and it's like, I want to hire you. And then he's like, no, you want so-and-so. He's the best. So like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Post now. Malone.
Was that Post That's Malone he was said, talking about?
Yeah, you want Carter.
Oh, he was no.
Post Malone.
That's such a fucking disservice to this back. Movie.
Exactly.
He was the Wade character.
That's what, that's oh why God. I used him, yeah.
That's crazy.
That Post Malone fight should have ended with a bear falling on him. A bear fell on me.
And then, yeah, then in saying that, a bear fell on
a
me.
A bear fell on me.
Spencer, you asked this question about coolers and bouncers. You asked it? Who knows? Spencer,
I don't think I did.
It's fine. Spencer asked yes, it.
Was, what he was doing was answering it.
Hey, man, I'm a professional podcast host. I know what's happening on the show.
I'll yes and. I did. You. I asked about coolers.
Great question, seriously, Spencer. Top notch job.
No, I asked about coolers.
No, you didn't.
Shut your whore face, sir.
I'm asking the next question. This is a segue. No one cares that you didn't ask that question. Spencer, I want to know how you get promoted from a bouncer to a cooler, because that seems like a rise in ranks at the bars.
I mean, I would assume you have to have a confirmed kill with your hands.
That seems, right? That tracks. That tracks.
I don't think he was a cooler until Memphis. And then that got
after
him.
Memphis, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when he was walking in Memphis and he ripped a man's throat out.
Just because he was walking on the right, right side of the road? Yeah.
And, okay. Yeah. And then he got promoted to cooler. And you have to have I think your KO ratio is like a batting percentage. You got to have a KO rate over like 550.
Hey, in the batting percentage thing.
Yes.
It's like a hit versus an at bat. So are you saying like fights to kills is your average?
This is how many people he hits a home run with a bat.
No.
That's what that is.
No, you're not getting it. Luciano, you're an old man. You don't know this thing.
Wait, what?
Listen, sir. I told you I'm referring to you, sir, from now on.
How old baseball is?
No. So kills are like home runs on your card.
Correct.
So it's just a number. Your average is your KO average. So how many times when you fight someone, how many times you knock them out.
Great.
That's your percentage.
Uh-huh.
And then at bats would be fights.
Great. You know? So what is
this really works well with our Dalton rookie card, by the way.
This is great. So what is Dalton's OPS? Because OPS is like slugging and on-base percentage put together.
Fucking
so
hell.
We got home runs and
shit.
We got hits. Fuck you. Shut up. Stay in your lane. So like over 1,000 between kills and fights?
Some would say it goes over 9,000.
So over 9,000. OPS would be figured out by also how many like breaks you get. Like he breaks a lot of knee breaking is valued.
That's his,
bone breakages. Okay.
Yeah.
So are knee breaks like bunting?
No.
Bone. No. You fucking.
What are you doing here?
Are you
Chris?
Even listening?
Yes.
What is this? Bone breaks is like a double. It's like a solid,
Well, maybe like a hand is like a single, like a kneecap
a
is
hand
like
job.
A double.
I was thinking a stab was like a stolen base.
Yeah.
Stabbing.
A stab is a stolen base?
Yeah,
what
rare.
If it results in death? Is that a home run then?
Yeah, that's a home run. That's a stolen home
no,
run.
That's an in-the-park home run.
That's a caught that stealing.
Yeah.
So what's a pop fly then?
A pop fly would be equivalent to be like, you know, missing a punch.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've nailed the question of how to get promoted. There's no further questions needed. It's clear and obvious to everybody.
You just look at your card.
It's like playing Magic the Gathering with people, with actual people.
Yeah. He has his medical file he carries around with him. It also contains his rookie card or his card. Yeah. Up to date stats.
Yeah. Has all the stats. Yeah. That makes sense.
Am I crazy that I want a now collection of bouncer cards?
We'll make sounds it happen.
It would work.
Let's talk about bouncers. We got to talk about two. Cooler, one's a cooler, one's a bouncer. I'm not sure what Shitty Dalton was. Sorry, Jake Gyllenhaal Dalton for those uneducated.
Oh, they didn't
but I
have
know,
coolers.
You guys asked this question the last time, and I thought your answer was weird and insufficient. So we're going to ask it again after having watched this movie.
Okay.
Who would win in a fight between this Dalton, Swayze, and Jake Gyllenhaal, Shitty Dalton?
I forget who I said last time.
Well, we all said Swayze Dalton because of
his hair.
Hair and throat removal procedure.
There's so much
and
more
that,
nuance.
And that does still stand. But I remember I brought up Jake Gyllenhaal is trained in mixed martial arts. So he has the ground game.
Yeah, which, we did talk about that.
He's got to get him to the ground, though, and that's the thing. Swayze's got the distance.
Every fight starts on the feet.
That distance, right? He can use the jab, use the legs.
The thing is, Swayze Dalton only uses the throat removal procedure when he's being faced with a gun, and
been told he fucked people like him.
Yeah.
True.
But let's be honest. We know Jake Gyllenhaal's been fucking guys in prison. We know that. Look at the way.
Yeah, but he wouldn't pull a gun on him.
No.
Yeah, it needs both things.
Can we plant a gun on him?
The gun was his penis.
That's true.
That could happen.
In states, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just going to ignore all this.
I mean, in Florida, it's concealed and carry, so it's fine. It's
concealed and carry. Yeah, you're good.
Also, weight classes exist for a reason. I would say that watching this now, like, I didn't know Patrick Swayze in this movie. He's probably like a 170 tops. Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal was like a cut, probably 210. Like at least 200. Yeah.
So are we allowing surprise turns in this? Because I feel like the townspeople would come to
change the game now.
You know, like the townspeople would get involved. They would come in and help Swayze because of that swagger. Ain't no one helping Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nobody's helping Jake Gyllenhaal. That's for sure. No, but this is a one-on-one fight. There's no assistance.
What? But maybe there's a special guest referee.
Mm. Who? Wesley?
Brad Wesley.
Terry Funk comes in just smashing chairs on people. Or also smashing people through chairs.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, both Daltons would kill Terry Funk first and then continue fighting each other later.
This is, you know, Luciano, I'm going to stop here because this is great. Both Daltons working together. And I think this is the time to ask the question because it confused me. But I think both Daltons would do this. What does going nipple to nipple mean exactly?
Well, if we're talking about both Daltons, it's...
Do it. You know what to do.
No, I was going to say it's a fight/sex move, but I don't think our audience is ready for it. I'm not ready for it.
No one's ready for it.
When we're talking Daltons, okay, we're talking Dalton squared, you need to make sure that Jeff Healey is supplying the musical background. Yes.
Yeah, let him cook.
Yes. And then... Terry Funk needs to break two bottles crisscross atop two chairs. Wait for it. And then when you have a Jimmy and a Knox step to the plate, the adult nipple to nipple technique allows for a fusion.
Oh, well, Jimmy and Knox are there, then it's a four-way nipple to nipple thing. They form a square.
You mean eight nipples?
No. It's a connection in 404.
Octonipple?
I'm comfortable with this.
An octonipple, yes.
That's a lot. You don't know what's going on with the nipples. Some nipples may be shaved. Some nipples may have hair. Some nipples might have some. I don't even want to get
We know these nipples thing. Are both shaved. We've seen
for
them.
For sure. 100%.
I'm talking about the Knox and.
Yeah, we saw those too.
We know Knox is shaved.
You don't know what Jimmy's nipples are.
Okay, I'll give you a wild
Jimmy
card.
Has hair for all the other three
combined. I
know combined.
What Knox is Jimmy's doing. You know Knox is not wearing pants in this scenario at all.
Yeah. As he shouldn't.
If you're going nipple to nipple with Knox, you're also going tip to tip.
Yeah.
That just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
It's implied, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the children call it docking.
They might.
We might. Was that needed?
Was any of this needed?
No. I mean, in this movie, though, I genuinely, when he's, because the guy asks him to go nipple to nipple.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Did he mean dancing?
I think
banging?
So.
Fist dancing.
No, it was the guy with the girl.
I thought he was asking the girl. Yeah.
He was asking the girl.
Making a move.
Like missionary sex?
Matt, you were thinking of going nipple to nipple with Swayze, and that's why you got
fighting.
Confused.
Someone was thinking of that weigh-in at UFC when they get all like nose to nose and start shit talking.
No, but I like where Spencer's going because it actually gets back to the reason I asked this question. What is going nipple to nipple?
I think it's dancing. Cokedly and like like up close, like
yeah,
chest to chest.
So he meant it as a normal way to say dance, and she took it
not,
as
not a normal way.
She took it. Well, she took offense.
She took offense
unfairly.
He offended her.
He's not good with the words.
Yeah, I love that scene because too, you can see the bouncer step back and look, and is just waiting for the guy to do something so he can break his arm and toss him over a table.
He's got to work his stats up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cooler promotion.
You got to bump those numbers up. You need a couple easy home runs, right? Lob pitches over the middle. Oh, smash
fuck. This yeah. again.
No, Luciano, it's fine. We're working through some issues over here. Sports and father issues. Don't worry about it.
Sports ball. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, do you have another idea of what nipple to nipple could be, if not dancing?
So my first answer was fighting. Right? Fusion, Dalton fusion fighting. Then we said dancing. And then there's obviously sex, but then there's another untapped region that.
But
we
there
are.
Was another.
Yes. Nipple to nipple. I'm going to get close to the microphone on this. Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Great. Okay. Spencer, wow, what a setup.
Spencer, your rebuttal.
I was trying to buy you all the time.
I hear your point there, but I don't think the fourth thing is nothing. I think it's. I too have nothing.
See, this is why I said we weren't ready.
No. I think
volleyball setup where with someone.
I rest my case. But Luciano knows.
No, I wanted him to say it. No. There's a very specific order to do these things.
Sorry.
Even having a very aggressive back and forth, a debate style, if you will. Chris, do you have a response?
We're trying to tease this out, as they say.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
nipple
yeah.
to nipple.
Okay.
Tits this out.
Tete-a-tete. Nipple to nipple is when you apply Jergens hydrating lotion upon each other in support
you
of
know
their
what? Tete-a-tete. You know, this was a mistake. I apologize.
I was trying something. I told you what my original answer
and
was.
It just didn't play out as possible. We'll probably delete this all, so you'll never hear it, so it'll be fine.
I actually do have something here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you get sized at JCPenney.
Nipple to nipple.
Nipple to nipple.
Great. Well, great answer.
Who's the other pair?
No. It's just.
I have a rebuttal.
No, I'm just kidding.
You did this, Matt. You made this rebuttal bad. Now you lay on it.
No. It's. No. The thing is that Matt's question, her answer of doing a JCPenney, is the perfect segue into the next question. Next question I want to ask you guys about is, if the Double Deuce and the Roadhouse were Transformers, who would have been in that fight?
I completely was not prepared. I was so not prepared.
What a perfect, beautiful segue.
Oh, my God.
You see? It's so natural, there might not have even been a segue.
Matt, I just have a question. Is JCPenney not a Transformer in this battle?
The world is your oyster.
You would think, but no.
But no, okay. I got you.
It's different. So it's a different thing. I can't explain the science to you right now.
No, I think it's inferred. I would like to think that if these robots – I'm sorry, if these house bars
– House
were,
bots.
House bar, bots. If these house bots were in a Transformer battle, I'm pretty sure the Double Deuce would win because it would fight dirty, right?
No, it would win because it would give – Roadhouse some venereal disease for sure.
Wait, they're not banging. They're fighting.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
They're going nipple to nipple.
Yeah, they are. The
Roadhouse got a thatched roof. All right, that ain't gonna hold up nowhere. You've got a weak spot right there.
What is that roof would be the back, right? Probably.
Yeah.
It'd just be a huge like weak spot.
Yeah, that freaking the new Roadhouse has like a tiki bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a fucking fighting. It's not a fighter.
No.
Yeah. So then is the new Roadhouse Tiki? We'll call it Tiki for short.
Tiki bot.
So then is that Roadhouse the sandal wearing, hacky sack kicking,
man bun having,
patchouli wearing equivalent in
poopery smelling
Transformer?
Yeah, it is. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. And the Roadhouse
It works on us. It's a barista at Starbucks. It only serves oatmeal lattes.
And they're $9.
Yes.
And the Roadhouse one is your crack smoking, drug dealing, knife shanking, just got out of prison with Jimmy, motherfucking death bot.
So what you're saying is it can't sit down properly.
What I'm saying is its exhaust hole is exhaust port has been overworked.
Been well used.
Sorry, how are these Transformers fighting? I just wanted to declare.
They're fighting. Well, it's not really a fight. It's more of an assassination.
Yeah, beat down.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more of a mugging gone wrong.
Yeah. No.
The
double deuce, of course.
Yeah.
Tiki Bot is what we've referred to would be made of short work.
All right, now you've answered my question. No follow ups. Going down the fight thing, I do have a couple more fights, if you will, challenges. Some might say, who went in a fight between Dr. Elizabeth Clay, Kelly Lynch, the old doctor,
old doc
versus Ellie, new doc, and the new shittier movie?
I'm going to have to pass on this question because I don't recall the new doc. I don't believe that character existed, and I pass.
Well, I would say the new doc wins just because she has more moxie.
She does get into fights. Yeah. But then again, the old doc was dating the other guy, and we saw some shiners, so you know she can take a punch.
Wow. So, okay.
So I don't know, really.
So what you're saying is she's good at getting beaten. That doesn't win you a fight.
I didn't think she was good at it. I just said that if she was dating that guy, she probably has, you know, had to dodge and duck and weave a few times. And, you know, the other one was throwing punches on the boat.
First of all, Brad Wesley didn't hit anybody.
That is all circumstantial.
That's circumstantial. Technically,
hearsay, I'm certain, almost slander.
I'm certain one of his goons will say they hit her.
They probably would, actually.
I'm pretty sure they'd all say she walked into a door.
Yeah.
Also true. So many witnesses. Who knows what happened?
I have a gang of witnesses.
Just ask Cody.
Cody saw it all. Cody? Blame a song about how my wife got injured.
There was a girl and she walked down the stairs. I'm a blind man, but I know what it sounds like.
No further questions. I'm sure we answered that question somehow.
I think we did. Somewhere in there was an answer.
More important question, who would win in a drag race?
I mean, I think we have to say Knox.
But he drives on the wrong side of the road.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, he's back. Connor, so good having you back. It's an honor.
That Irish accent is uncanny.
It's unmistakably Connor McGregor.
I think he would. Knox would win, and if he lost, he would kill Jimmy and say he won. I think that's what would happen.
Knox would win because he'd be drunk and just blindly hitting the gas. He was in a training car, a kid's training car.
Like, have you seen the man park? Have you seen that man park?
Yeah, that's why the IKEA would lose because he drove a truck through.
Based purely on the cars they drove in the movies, like Knox would win based on his the car because he had a Lamborghini, right? Or a Ferrari.
Mazda. Why are you talking about cars?
I heard that question. I was like,
are they drag racing on their own?
No, I'm thinking who's wearing what? What color are the pumps?
Like RuPaul's Drag Race.
That's what the question's about.
First of all, when it comes down to the walk, the catwalk, Knox is winning hands down. That duck's got wings. Baby can fly.
Ooh, yeah. He can walk that fucking duck.
Well, yeah, that's the only way he knows how to walk a duck who shat itself. Yeah.
Listen, we talked about Connor's walking with two invisible basketballs to death. The question is, who would win in a drag race? And I think the charisma of Knox alone carries us to victory.
I think Jimmy just lacks the constitution in order to channel his inner diva.
I don't think he has the confidence.
No, you need to be in order to.
Wow, I think that Jimmy has the hair.
True.
That's all he has.
Many looks.
He could probably paint his face pretty good too. I imagine he'd do a good
with
job.
With a shotgun there. Full of paint.
True. I mean, Jimmy did fuck guys in prison.
I was gonna say he's
that has
too, but he's
nothing
too,
to do with drag
he
racing.
He was too busy
you
fucking
can't
guys
do
in
that
prison.
If you don't look good, though, you know what I mean?
That's pure confidence.
Yeah.
No. You got it all wrong. Conor McGregor, I mean Knox.
No. hot.
He could pull off any outfit. He was wearing whatever he wants.
Which was mostly nothing.
It was mostly nothing.
Yeah, he was walking around naked. Anything. Yeah, that shows the confidence he has in his looks.
So it's a one note confidence.
No. That shows if you're doing a drag race, you gotta be able to strut.
Yes.
And he can strut his stuff. I feel like
I don't know if strut is the word I use.
I'm gonna be real here. Hobble, I think hobble, Jimmy maybe. Jimmy's toxic masculinity would hurt him in this. I think he'd be
You need to have an air of grace.
Yeah, I think he'd be too uncomfortable. He'd be feel like he's not looking like a macho man, and he wouldn't be able to pull it off. Isn't that right, Conor McGregor?
That's right.
He's back. Thank you for your time, sir. It's an honor.
Chris,
I didn't even try that.
Yeah, that's like your normal accent.
Yeah,
I'm not arguing for Jimmy because Knox again. And like aside from the walk, we need to consider the different rounds. There's the speech, the Q&A section. There's the evening wear, okay, the gowns that need to be. So
and we saw Conor McGregor, sorry, Knox in a gown, a hospital gown,
hey,
but still.
Chris, you know that Drag Race isn't fucking Miss America, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Chris.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the question you asked. I'm going to answer my own.
I also, just to add on to Chris, I don't think you could do any of those challenges without a throat. So that will hinder him.
That's fair enough. Strong technicality, but strong.
The defense rests.
Matt, can you defend Jimmy? Please.
I can. I mean, this is the thing.
Should you?
But I won't.
The man puts himself together well. Like, let's be honest. He's got the smolder. He's got the tan. So you know he's got the skin.
What he's got is a taint.
You know that he's got the skincare program. He's got the hair. I think he could do it. I do think he could do it. I think he's a way, way more of that like tall, slender kind of frame.
Illiterate.
Doesn't look like a little bulldog smuggling napkins in his butt cheeks like that.
It's a good description.
It is.
Very good description.
To me, I think he'd kill that. I think
you know
guys
what?
Don't give him
you're
no credit.
You're swaying me a little bit, Matt, because I remember when Jimmy used a pool cue and flipped up onto the stage? That showed some showmanship.
He needed the big fat guy, though.
I mean,
don't we all?
As a stone.
Drag is not
Matt,
a contact.
Matt did that.
Yes, it did.
Sorry, Matt, he's the fat henchman, remember?
I'm the fat henchman. Yeah, I did that, obviously. Yeah, let's move on from this question because I don't like where it's headed for me personally. Thank you.
We dissected it.
It's too far. Listen, guys, Amazon is going to make a prestige series of this movie.
Of course
And
they
it's
are.
Actually going to cover the formation of Brad Wesley's gang. We got the fat guy, the tall guy, Jimmy, the scaredy guy, his nephew,
yeah.
So, like, what are these episodes? You know, let's say eight episodes, real high prestige level, Game of Thrones shit. What are these episodes about?
So I think because those characters are so rich and full of history and nuance, each of the first five episodes is just him recruiting one of them, telling their backstories and, you know, their raison d'être, if you will, and like what really drives them as human beings. And, you know, really just getting Brad, like learning about them, getting under their skin, being really like, really expertly driving them so that they want to join this gang. So that's
like, like a good leader.
Exactly. Yeah,
I like it. And we all know that he meets Jimmy in prison. But where does he meet the others?
JCPenney.
All four of them. Four separate episodes.
JCPenney
locations.
They were shopping together.
From different, each one a master of a JCPenney department. So you've got plumbing. attire. You have
hey, which
attire.
Person for which section?
Yeah, which person is?
Don't leave it out.
I'm trying to find the names of these motherfuckers.
Don't worry,
it's the fat guy, the tall guy, the nephew. Coward guy, nephew guy, and tall guy.
And Jimmy.
So is that five?
Yeah. Jimmy, five. Tall guy, nephew, fat guy, coward guy.
Yeah. Great. So we know where Jimmy's from. Fat guy was in kitchenware and plates.
Makes obviously.
Sense. And fridges.
Mm.
Coward guy, he was in vacuums because he sucks.
I thought JCPenney was close.
Listen, don't worry about it.
I know I'm confused by this.
I was going to say, but let's roll with it.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel of 1989. Yeah. JCPenney's are everywhere.
JCPenney right. might have had a team up with Sears for all we know because they existed back then.
Sears.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are.
Other Matt can finish the other two.
Okay. Which are the other two? Where are we left off?
Fat guy. No.
You got fat guy and tall guy. You still need nephew and.
We got knife
coward.
Coward.
No. Nephew and coward. Tall guy. I said tall guy. Was...
No, you already said tall guy.
Tall guy and coward. Different guys.
Oh, that's right. There's tall guy and really tall guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's really tall guy and then there's knife guy, right?
No. The coward guy is the tall guy.
He's the knife guy.
Yeah, they're all the same guy.
I don't know how that works. Wait. There is one really tall guy.
Yes.
That fights when he's bringing the beer from some other place.
Yes.
He's the
and there's the tall guy who's the coward guy who gets
we're not
needing the nuts.
Tall guy, the other guy's coward guy.
Coward guy. That's what I'm saying.
I answered coward guy.
He's just a little tall. He's not like tall guy tall.
Fair.
You're talking about the dude who looks like Lurch. Like the guy's like 8 feet tall, right?
That's tall guy.
The dude who wanted to see Sam Elliott's dick.
Correct.
That's the guy we're talking about.
That's tall guy.
He's the greeter. He's the guy you meet when you walk in and he's got the vest on and you go nipple to nipple.
Yep.
That's the dude who...
That's really hard to go nipple to nipple with him. Yeah, but I get you.
No, he carries you. It's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we forgot...
He's the greeter.
Sexually, they call him the hanging guard.
Nephew guy.
Tell us how you met nephew.
He told us that. At which JCPenney
location?
I would say, yeah, he was probably in. Well, he had that comically large knife, right? Like, the knife is the size of his face. Like, he pulls it out and it's just.
This is a knife.
You're saying sporting goods?
Oh, so sporting he met him in JCPenney, Australia. Is that what you're saying?
Probably, like, in the camping section and whatnot. Yeah. And he was whittling.
Do they have a bar? Do they have a bar?
He said, what are you making there, son? He says, I'm making a smaller stick. And he's like, this boy is special.
This boy is my nephew.
Who are you
now.
Making him
no,
for?
He
my
says,
uncle?
This boy is my nephew now.
he is part of my lineage.
And they'll say, well, that's your nephew. And he says, I thought he was my cousin. Oh, no, wait, he's my son. Brother? I'm not sure. But I think.
How do blood relations work?
Wonderful place for this man within my organization. You can count, right?
Thank you.
And then the rest of the show is him, like, I think it'd be like a Boardwalk Empire sort of, you know, story taking over the town. Yep. Right? Prestige HBO television.
Preparing to bring JCPenney into the city.
Sleeping with his mother. I think that happened in Boardwalk
Empire. It actually makes sense because that's why he hired all these JCPenney affiliates, because his end goal was to bring JCPenney to the town.
JCPenney there, yeah.
And so the last episode of the season is JCPenney, we're coming to town.
And then and then he gets a note saying there's a new bartender.
Yeah.
The guy from JCPenney
say, we were ready to move, but there's this new cooler coming in and we're not going to move until he's out.
Listen, we like our town greasy.
We like it greasy.
If you've ever been to a JCPenney, it's accurate.
I don't know if you've been to a JCPenney, but it's greasy as fuck.
We have one rule here at JCPenney.
It's
got to be dirty. It's got to be messy. Got to be stabbings. Yep. Got to be killings.
Sloppy.
What's
no
the
coolers.
Name of this prestige show? I can't get BDE out of my head.
Yeah, that's the name.
All I can think of now is it's like JCPenney being like, we want our town like we want our jeans. Low
and greasy.
Low. Bedazzled.
Preferably a whale tail.
Jean Empire?
No, the show's called Wesley. That's it. It's called Wesley's Wishes.
Just Wesley.
Dreams. Oh, okay.
Wesley and the Wesley Boys.
Yeah.
We've answered this question thoroughly. One last question before we get our reviews.
Too thoroughly.
Well, some would say.
One last question. The old guys from the town.
The ones who teleported into the living room?
The guy who owns the deuce. The car ownership guy. Other dude.
Yep.
Other dude.
My favorite character.
They all allegedly shoot Wesley.
What?
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. So they say that they didn't see anything. And so the sheriff has to book them, essentially, because they're all there with a dead body. But how do these old guys argue that, in fact, this was a Brad Wesley took his own life scenario?
Oh.
For their defense, to get out of going to jail.
Wait, what?
That's their.
Oh, you see there, Your Honor, defense. He shot himself in the back 17 times.
No, he shot himself in the front.
He got shot in the front every single time. Yeah. Second of all, you are defending these old gentlemen in court.
That's right.
Brad Wesley died by suicide.
Okay, yes. I'm going to be the Southern lawyer. Now I'm.
I do declare.
I'm no big city lawyer. I'm just a small man from Jasper, Alabama, and you may look at the evidence. You may see the ballistics of four different shotguns shooting this man, and you may say
from four different angles.
From four different angles, with four people in the room with him, and you may say, and you may assume, as fools you are.
Well, he's wearing suspenders.
Yeah, that he was somehow murdered. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you something. Any man worth his salt could shoot himself with four different guns at once. My uncle killed himself with no less than seven different revolvers. You could ask him. He's still alive. So I rest my case.
Listen,
if the shot fits, case. You must acquit.
That is a great argument. But should we get another, maybe, just to thoroughly cover this topic?
We all know. Thank you. I may be a small time intern in
small time intern
on his office, but I think what the jury also needs to take into account is Mr. Wesley was a coke-fied sinner.
Oh.
Have you seen the animals in his dwelling? I'll tell you, there are 17 of them. Why did he have a white bear? Racism.
Mm.
Do you know what it takes? Do you know what happens to the spirit of a living creature when you take it unwittingly?
Objection. Badgering the victim. The court.
The victim!
Yeah. Who is the victim?
Brad Wesley was a saint.
I say unto you, look within yourselves. Ask yourself, what would you do if you were the polar bear? Would you inhabit his body?
That was literally four accents in one sentence.
I really enjoy the accent work, and I really enjoy that Chris basically invoked the Chewbacca defense from South Park by not actually saying anything about Brad Wesley or people.
I did not say I concluded.
Well, you're concluded.
you're
done. Concluding for you.
I conclude for you. That's very strong. Spencer, would you like to rebuke?
We're arguing the same thing, but yeah. I will rebuke my intern here. He is just a small-time, part-time intern, and although he may be a sinner, our case stands formally on the case that this could have also been a terrible, terrible accident. Now, suicide is the most likely of results of this case to not here today, but he was an avid hunter. As my intern did say.
Uh-oh. Alan Rickman's coming out.
No. Alan Rickman is not here.
No, I say, excuse me, I had a frog in my throat. I say he, and everyone knows he kept his rifles loaded on the walls at different angles. Now, my uncle was shot by loaded rifles that he kept on his hunting wall. You can ask him; he's alive to this day.
You know what? I think I need to stop doing this.
I object.
I think.
I rest my case, Your Honor. I rest my case.
Object here, Your Honor.
Uh-oh.
I would say that we must treat all these witnesses as hostile. They are not truth tellers. They are not known for their truth. So I took it upon myself to speak to the most honorable man in this whole town. Cody, will you please come in here today? Cody, do you see the man in front of you? I do not. Did you see what happened to these men? I cannot say I do, sir. I rest my case.
A shabba doo ba doo ba dee. Little blues. Wow.
What is one step beyond the Chewbacca defense? That's what that was. The Han Solo defense.
But the blind do see.
It's true.
The truth.
They see the truth with their heart.
You know, that's probably enough blasphemy for one.
No, I just want to say, I want to attack the defendant. Mr. Jeff, Mr. Healy here is a known coke abuser whose eyes fundamentally are not working. And that right there is a Healy fact.
Oh, no.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Oh, no. Delete that from the podcast. Let's talk about our reviews.
I wish I could delete it from my brain.
You do that on your own time, sir. The reviews for this movie. Thank you. I'll stop. We review all our movies using an S-tier system, S being the highest, F being the lowest. Spencer, if you only listened once in your life, you would know that immediately. What? And not say E by an accident. Yes, I was listening, and that's why you're fired.
Listen, maybe I think there's one too many letters. I say.
Oh, no.
I'm not a big city lawyer with all them book learning.
With all them letters.
Down at the book house.
Let's do these reviews. Chris, why don't you start us off first?
We started at what we thought was the top of this movie-going experience with 2024's Roadhouse, starring one Conor McGregor, cokedly, I would add. And we thought we descended. We thought we came back to from that mountain down to a simple town filled with simple people. But let me tell you, we found gold at the bottom of that hill. And that gold was this movie. The gold was the movie. I don't understand how... I don't need to understand. I'm grateful that we watched it in the order that we did, because this movie is exactly how Roadhouse... It is what it is, and the current one completely lost sight of that. It's a complete and utter failure. For a comedy and for our purposes, it's fun to be able to juxtapose these, but like we gave the new one a D for a reason. This movie... is a treasure, like, for 80s movies and action, whatever you want to call it, like, fun. So for me, it's an A.
Wow. Okay.
Wowza.
Confusing and yet topical. Luciano.
Topical.
Wait, are you saying I'm confusing and topical, or Chris is, or yes?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. I even you know, throughout the haze of whatever Chris just said, I agree with him that this movie is what the 2024, whoever says it that way, the 2024 one wanted to be but couldn't. It knows what it came for. It doesn't try to be more. It doesn't try to create some stupid plot of, oh, I want to build something here, but we're never going to talk about it. No, it's just like there's this asshole who wants to be, you know, in charge of the whole town, and someone crosses him and he explodes things and he kills one guy too many and he gets killed. Is it a good movie? No. Is it a better movie than the other one? Oh, fuck yes. Would I watch it again? Maybe. So, and I had fun watching this. The other one was kind of boring at the end. So for all of those reasons, I will give this one a C.
What?
Coward's number. Spencer.
That's not a number.
It's a coward's, but it is.
Sure. Trust me, it is.
You learned that at your book house?
Yeah.
I did. Several different book houses.
So I'd never seen this movie, and I watched the new one, and everyone was saying, they're like, oh, it's a remake of Roadhouse. Like, what do you expect? It's a remake of Roadhouse. Like, basically saying, like, Roadhouse is not a serious movie, and it's don't expect the remake to be that good. It's going to be stupid and fun, like the original. So I watched the new one, and it was obviously sucked. But then watching this, I was, like, shocked at how good it is as a movie. Like, it is stupid in terms of the plot and a lot of the stuff, but it's well-paced, well-written. Like, it's, like, fun and entertaining. And, like, the whole thing was just, like, such a refreshing watch after the original. And like I said before, it made me, like, appreciate this movie so much more having watched the new one. So I will not drag it out. I like this movie, and I understand now why it's a cult classic, because it fucking kicks ass, as it should. So I give this movie a B, because it's not high art, but it's fucking fun and fucking kicked ass. So fucking right.
Fuck yeah.
made me feel good.
Great. Listen. I like the symmetry of the idea that we have four people reviewing movies and only one Matt shall review a movie. Also, all Matts are the same. We have one collective brain. I'm sorry to out everybody else on the podcast, but it's just for clarity for everybody. So, new Matt, other Matt, however we want to refer to you, Matt 2797531, just nice. The thing we do internally. Why don't you go ahead and give the review for all Matts collectively?
Listen. After watching Jake Gyllenhaal and washing myself,
nipple to nipple,
nipple to nipple.
It was a communal nipple washing, if you will.
You know, just felt I needed to get clean after that first movie. You know what? I'm in the same boat actually as Spencer. I got to admit, I have never seen this movie before watching this, and I did the exact same thing you did. I watched the first one. Or the new one, and then I watched this one. And this was so far and above what they made the new one into. It was just, oh, magnificent. And you know what? I mean, we could sit there and say it's dumb, but I think I said earlier, probably not in this podcast, because my long-term memory and short-term memory are both really bad. but I said, like, I have gone to a McDonald's before and got it fresh and been satisfied. And that is what this was. And most importantly, I'm going to give this – can I actually – I'm not even sure. I couldn't remember – again, short-term memory issues. Was it S a level, like S tier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to give it S tier. I'm giving it S tier.
Wow.
And you know why I'm giving it S tier?
Tell him.
Because you're crazy?
Sam Elliott. Coming in. Looking like he's 54 years old. So this was made, what, 1942? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Accurate.
You know, with that, you know, all his exes are in Texas. You know, like, this is what we were missing. He was the heart. He was the soul. He anchored Swayze. And he never showed his dick.
Shouldn't that bring it down?
No. Because we're not good enough to see it.
I think the real response to that is America.
America.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. One other thing too, I did learn from this because it was somewhat educational. Always, always have $20 on you. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, those are all good facts. That is a representative for the Matt. We're working at a shop in the name Matt Alliance, Matt Confederacy.
Not Confederacy. We'll
that's a bit.
Yeah, maybe. Please not the Confederacy.
It's a Matt thing. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it's, you know, honorable. You know?
Yeah,
it like represents Brad, like, a grand old time.
Like Brad Wesley represented.
Oh, no.
Misunderstood.
Oh, no.
Misunderstood. Listen, next week, we're doing another action movie. And we are because we're on a kick. We're liking it. Plus, they're all – everyone's a cooler. it's The Beekeeper, America's Cooler. You'll find out when you watch the movie. I may have seen it already. We're going to watch The Beekeeper. It is an action movie. It is 100% a Jason Statham vehicle. I don't know how to sell it to you otherwise. If you say Josh Hutcherson, you're wrong. I'm not sure why, but trust me. But The Beekeeper, we're going to watch it. We're going to review it. It is streaming somewhere. I don't know.
Nice job.
On the internet. Go find it. You guys have any last words?
Nope.
Great job. That's why great I job, let you everybody. Do this.
Just dead air.
No, you know what? It's fine. I got this. This is why I'm the host, Spencer, and you're the backup. Beekeeper, next week. We'll see you next time.
Now, I do declare that there is another movie that needs to be watched, and it is Roadhouse.